Good morning. Denny's been giving me the cue for 5 minutes. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this. Oops, I'm not in the right slide deck, so we're going to have to start over. Where am I? That's not it. Okay. We're not starting over? Okay. That's not it. That looks like the Lord's Supper from last week. Let's try that one. No, that's not it. That one underneath. Yep, that's it. Hames. Okay. So we didn't start over, but hi to all the non-resident congregation members who are laughing hysterically. Ah, those guys, they just don't ever get it right. That's right. We are quite imperfect. We're so awesome. So welcome to Barah Ministries. We're talking about James chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God the Father, who gives wisdom to all generously and without reproach, and wisdom will be given to him." And then Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 to 8 say this, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her, wisdom, as you would seek after silver, and search for her, wisdom, as you would for his hidden treasures, then you will discern the respect of the Lord, and you will discover the knowledge of God." Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 2, 7. "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and the upright are believers in Christ. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity," and that's believers in Christ. Why? Because we have integrity? No. But because God made us worthy and gave us integrity. Proverbs 2:8, "He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones." And godly ones, of course, are believers in Christ. "And if you continue to seek wisdom," Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8 say, "you will have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." You will have this thinking in yourselves that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the same form of God the Father, deity, the Lord, we call the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the Lord. The Lord is God the Son, and he is true humanity, Jesus Christ. So we call him the Lord Jesus Christ. So who, although he existed in the same form of God the Father, deity, did not regard equality with God the Father as a thing to be seized and held. That's the thing that's always funny to me in the battle between the sexes. We're always seeking equality, and what we know is anyone who calls for equality is not seeking equality. They're seeking superiority. They're masking their desire for superiority with the equality words. But there isn't any equality in God's plan. We accept that equal privilege and equal opportunity from him. We all have a role. We all have a part. We are the body of Christ. So, for example, some of us are the toe. Amen? And when the toe hurts, you know, when it doesn't hurt, it's fine, right? You walk around, the toe, you know, it's like, great. But when the toe hurts, all of a sudden the toe is an important part of the body. Amen? Yeah. We got one of our brothers is down right now with a huge toe. And that's when you find out how important all the pieces are. So we need to do our part. The toe needs to do its part. The head does its part. The body does. The arm does its part. Well, Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. And each one of us has a part. And God wants us to do our part. That's what's being talked about here. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the same form of God the Father, deity, did not regard equality with God the Father to be a thing to be seized and held. In other words, he was dependent on God the Father for everything. Instead, Jesus Christ emptied himself. He submitted to the will of God the Father in such a way that his will was the same as God the Father's. That's what submission to the will of God is. We submit to God's will when our will is the same as his. So instead, Jesus Christ emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant by being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Better word, he humiliated himself by taking on true humanity. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to God the Father to the point of his own death, the death on a cross. That's what we'll celebrate, Resurrection Day. So welcome to a place where you are seeking wisdom through the daily study of the Word of God that will lead you to the obedient life. The opening song is the title cut from June Murphy's fourth album, which will be nominated for a Grammy sometime soon. I'd like that. I'd like that the prize for the Grammy was about $2 million. And that you felt real generous that day, donated it all to Broad Ministry so we could build a church. The opening song, title cut from June Murphy's fourth album, You Ran After Me. Love this song.
Lord, I never thought to seek you. In the dark, there is no doubt. Jesus, light of the world, eternal truth. Savior, you pursued, then let me choose. You ran after me. You ran after me. Sought me for. Opened up salvation's door. Jesus, you are everything I need. I'm yours. I will follow where you lead. You ran after me. You ran after me. Sought me for.
That is beautiful. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Give us the mindset that is in your Son through our study of the Word of God. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, the gap between knowing and doing. The gap between knowing and doing. There is a space between knowing something and then doing it. And what exists in the space between knowing something and doing something is your choice. What do you choose to do? Well, in the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 6, we investigated the sinful walk and the holy walk of the Christian way of living. And as Sergeant Joe Friday of the old television series Dragnet would say, the first 11 verses were just the facts, man. Do you remember that, Mike? You remember Joe Friday, Dragnet? He never did. He was kind of stiff. Dun, dun, dun. I don't even remember. I can't even remember the song, but that's pretty bad. I'm getting old. But just the facts, ma'am. See, all those verses, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11, presented a series of facts, things that were established in the past and the unchangeable and that are unchangeable forever facts about the strategy of the Christian lifestyle. Now, in the second passage of Romans 6, which we're about to study, the Lord gives us, through the Apostle Paul, a series of commands. And here's something that's going to shock you. These are the first commands in the whole book of Romans. Now, we've been studying the book of Romans for about 180 lessons, and there have been no commands to us yet. But here come the first set of commands. And as we know, God's commands are requests to free will. God is always trying to influence our free will by making requests to our free will. And so now that we know some things about the Christian way of living, the holy walk through the first 11 verses, what does the Lord want us to do? That's what we'll learn in this lesson. First, a few announcements. First, a cough. So the Barah Ministries announcements for this week. Reminder to check in on Facebook before church service so everybody knows we're there. Remember to like us on Facebook and to have your friends like us too. And I think we've got 3,000 people who have signed up to be part of our Facebook community. And we'd like you to get your friends to join our community today. Our first 10-minute lesson to our Facebook YouTube community is going to be posted tomorrow. I'm going to be recording that right after this session. So bring your friends to the Barah Ministries Facebook page for some exciting things coming up in the future. And it dawned on me, you know, poor Tracy Bixby in our non-resident congregation, you know, she controls the Facebook page and she's been posting stuff. And she's been waiting patiently for, I think, about 8 months for this part of our ministry to really get off the ground. And so it's finally getting off the ground and her dumb pastor is finally figuring out that, you know, this is probably going to help us go viral. The internet is a really powerful weapon if used properly. And I think we're going to see some very interesting things between that and going back on the radio, which we're going to try and experiment on the radio for a period of time to help us grow. And I think that Tracy's going to be chuckling when people start rolling in here because of our internet ministry. And she's going to be saying, I told you so. Told you to do this 9 months ago, but y'all is so slow. We are slow, Tracy, sorry. But better slow than never. Yeah, I want to say a couple hellos today. I'd like to say hello to Jill Ryder, who is the sister of one of my dear friends, Brian Davis, and I think they're watching us today in Dallas. And that just proves that they have nothing better to do, huh? But Jill, Jesus Christ is looking for you to come on back over and get to know him. So I hope our Facebook lessons, these 10-minute lessons that we're going to be doing every week, might be just perfect for you to come and take a look at what God has to say. Because God is the creator. He created all of us, and he has some things to say to us. And I heard this week from Dave Hall and Beth McLaughlin out in Pennsylvania, and it was great to hear from you guys. I don't like violating people's privacy, but I was worried about you and wondering about you, and I was glad to see you're still with us. So my best to you guys, and let's get some Pennsylvania Conference going, because I'm going to be having some work in the Pennsylvania area in the second half of the year, so we should get something going out there. So some calendar items. Mark your calendars. The next deacons meeting is April 4th at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in the usual place. The next Lord's Supper celebration is April 12th, the day before my birthday. Bring presents. No face-to-face teaching on 2 days, May 3rd, 2015, and also on July 5th, 2015. So you can mark your calendars for that. Have a nice 3-day weekend, and we'll figure out how we get the lessons posted. But again, that's May 3rd and July 5th. So what else is here? Oh, another thing just popped onto the calendar. Coeur d'Alene Conference, August 7th and 8th. 2015. So start saving your ducats for that and join me up there with John and Monica Miller. And no excuses this year, Mike. This year you're coming up. So I'm going up on the 4th, and there's a really nice golf course there. No excuses this year. So save your ducats, huh? Yeah, with caddies. Even for the black people. The black people get caddies and valet service. All right. So, now we laugh about that one, but Coeur d'Alene used to be one of the headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. So, I always have to be real careful what I say up in that area. People look at me funny. All right, so those are the announcements. The offering, Deacon Denny Goodall is going to take that. It's the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world who can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge by means of the internet or by means of face-to-face teaching. And let's remember to give with the motivation that is suggested in Scripture, which is each one of us must do just as is purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourselves and for others. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And last week, Pastor talked about a popular saying, and he reversed it. You know, he said, you have to believe it before you can see it. But this world tells you opposite. It says you have to see it before you can believe it. So I thought about it, and I think, you know, there are so many popular sayings, and they're probably all wrong. You know, when you think about it, they're not biblically truth. They're based on a TV show or some old saying that doesn't even make sense, you know, that nobody knows what it means. But, you know, like, the best of both worlds. And we know that's not true as Christians. Like Pastor said in the first lesson there, we'd be gray shirts if we had the best of both worlds, dabbling a little here and a little there, you know, in Christianity and disobedience. And that doesn't work. That just leads to death. Or how about anything in moderation? We've heard that one before. You know, I'm just going to murder a couple people. It's no big deal. I mean, they're just a couple co-workers. Nobody will miss them. I mean, I have a lot of family. Maybe they might even thank me. You know, or how about one that's even worse, I think, is gossip. You know, just a little bit of gossip. It's like cancer in an organization. You know, when you tear down the bosses to gain favor with a co-worker, it doesn't help. It might temporarily help the situation, your buds, but it's not going to help in the long run. You've got a bunch of workers that don't respect the leadership. That's not good for an organization. Or what about whatever floats your boat? We know that not to be true. You know, you can't just get into anything. You can't, you know, like atheism, you know, or all paths lead to God, or all religions lead to the same God. That's not true. That's completely contradictory to the Bible. So, you know, when you say you come to church or that you give to a church, that's seen as in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, we've seen it. We believe it, and we've seen it. We've seen the power. We're not trying to have the best of both worlds. We want one world, the divine power world, the Zoe life. You know, we're not doing just whatever floats our boat. We know that truth is what floats our boat, and that's why we give to this church, because we're spreading truth and the gospel to the world. And I just want to remind everybody, keep it simple when you're giving the gospel. Don't get off into the weeds, into discussion about other things. Just give a simple synopsis, give a Bible verse, and leave it at that. It's so much easier, and that's all we need to do. So thank you for your consistent giving, especially those here that come each week, and especially those on the non-res that just flood us with funds and are keeping us on the cutting edge of technology. So thank you so much. And our offering song is How Great Is Our God.
Stop, Pastor Rory, stop. Hey, great offering message, Denny. It's all good. It's all good. That's another one of my favorites. I thought that was going to be the first one he came out with. Today's study. All right, what's going on here? This isn't moving. Yeah, I did something, I'm sure. What'd you say? Don't be making fun of me over there. I saw that. Maybe, what'd you say, the battery? Yeah, it's probably the battery. Yeah, I need one. I need a battery. That battery is dead. Like your toe. Your toe is dead. What'd you do to your toe? I fought the rock and the rock won. Right? I'm sorry about that, man. I am praying for your toe. And the rest of you, but especially your toe. Did I get it? No? What's going on now? Why does God hate me today? What is it exactly? There we go. Okay. Thank you, sir. Today's study, the gap between knowing and doing. The gap between knowing and doing. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. The next passage under consideration. Now that you know some things about the Christian way of living, the holy walk, what does the Lord want us to do? The Lord is always clear. And Romans 6, 12 to Romans 6, 14 is the first set of commands in the book of Romans, and it is a series of do's and don'ts. All right, Romans 6, 12. Therefore, do not keep on letting sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Do not keep on letting sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Romans 6, 13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Instead, but, the turning point, keep on presenting yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead would present themselves. And keep on presenting your members as instruments of unrighteousness, or I'm sorry, as instruments of righteousness to God. Why? Romans 6, 14. For sin shall not be master over you. And master means a lord over you. Sin shall not be your lord, because you are not under the principle of law. You are under the principle of grace. That, I think that verse is the hardest thing for Christians to get under their belt. Christianity is not about the law. It's about the liberty. But we always want to hold everybody to a series of rules, and we know what happens when you hold people to a series of rules. God would never do it. God's request is a request of free will. All three of the verses there, which give you do's and don'ts, is simply God requesting something of your free will. You can do it or not. It's up to you. Knowledge is not enough. Knowledge must be translated into action, which becomes experience. That's a great lesson when parents think that just because they teach their kids what to do, and just because the kids may know what to do, and believe me, they always know what to do, that kids can or will do what they know. Kids know, but they don't do. And we scratch our heads, why is that? Because something exists between the two spaces of knowing and doing. What is it? Their choice. And parents should learn that at 18 months when the kid says, no, I won't. And we call it the terrible twos, but it begins at 18 months. No, I won't. What is the kid telling you? I am not the same person as you. I am not going to listen to you. I am going to have my own experience of life. I am going to do what I want to do, and you can't make me. Okay. All right. I love people who say that, because people who say that are in a car with the foot all the way down to the floor, going at 120 miles an hour right toward a brick wall. And when they crash into the wall, the parent's job is to go over and say, you want me to drive? And that's what God does for us. You know, when we crash into the brick wall, what does God say? You want me to drive? You know, when you became a Christian, I put you in the back seat of a limo. All I wanted you to do is sit back there and shut up. Just do what I say. I'll take you everywhere you need to go. And you always want to say, hey, God, can I drive? Sure, come on up. But I just want to warn you, if you hit that sign right there and you're going more than 60 miles an hour, there's a wall beyond there and you're going to crash right into the wall. Oh, that's all right. Yeah, I see that. You hit that sign at 80 miles an hour and you crash into the wall, and he just comes up front and says, you want me to drive? That's our life. And how many times do we do that a day? 100? But God's always there. Knowledge is not enough. When he tells you, you can't hit that sign at more than 60, you now know. What will you do? There's a gap between knowing and doing. Often, quite often, knowing is not translated into doing. There's a book on the subject, not so oddly enough, it's called The Knowing-Doing Gap. And the questions it poses are, why are there so many gaps between what businesses know that they should do and what they actually do? There are a lot of businesses that hire consultants over and over and over and over again to tell them the exact same thing they told them last year, which they didn't do last year and they're not going to do this year. They know, but they don't do. Another question it poses is, why do so many companies fail to implement the experience and insight they've worked so hard to acquire? Why? Because there's a gap between knowing and doing. You have to make a choice. Once you know it, you have to make a choice. And see, that's the thing that's always funny to me about talking to people who are not succeeding at what they want to do. They always want to shift the blame to somebody else. Oh, see, well, that's because somebody else made me do it. You make me feel. You made me do. No, come on. Come on. You have a choice between knowing and doing. Are you going to make the right choice? Are you going to make the God choice? Between knowing and doing? That's the question you have to ask yourself. But this is the human condition. This is the human condition. We learn slowly. It doesn't stop the Lord, though, from issuing commands, from making it clear what to do and what not to do. After the Lord is sure we have the knowledge, you have the questions on the test, you have the answers to the test, now he's going to make recommendations. Here's what I want you to do. The first thing on his slate is the do not commands. All right, what are those? Do not, in this Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 14, the do not commands. Number one, do not keep on letting sin be the king in your mortal body. You still have the flesh in your mortal body. Don't let it rule you. You're dead to it, but you can still give it power. Don't keep on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. What members of your body? Well, one like the tongue. The tongue is a member of your body. The hand is a member of your body. The eyes are members of your body. Don't keep on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Now, please don't make the mistake of thinking, as all the systematic theology people make, that believers in Christ could ever be considered unrighteous. We are not. We are righteous. And we can never again be unrighteous because we didn't make ourselves righteous. God did, and God never changes anything he does, and you can't change anything he does. But you can go and do things, they're called the deeds of the flesh, which the unrighteous ones do. Keep on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of what the unrighteous ones do. Now the do's. Do. Keep on presenting yourself to God. Keep going to God for assignment. Do. Act as if you're alive from the dead because you are. Do. Keep on presenting the members of your body as instruments of righteousness to God. God has some things he wants you to do. Step up and do those things. That's what this is talking about. And the passage starts with the word therefore. And that's another way of Paul saying, in light of all we know from the first 11 verses of this passage of Romans 6, what must we do? We'll take a 5-minute break and we'll remind ourselves of the way to close the gap between knowing and doing. 5-minute break. Thank you. That's right. They're apologizing to us. That's awesome. Welcome back. So Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. Now that you know all these wonderful things that are part of you being in union with Christ, then this, do this, don't do that. And see, here's the cool thing about God when he does the do this, don't do that. It's not like parents doing it. A lot of times parents, when they start going into the do's and don'ts, they're just saying, hey, don't make me look bad. You're going to embarrass me. But that's not what God is saying to us. He's saying, if you take this road, you're going to crash into a wall. If you take this road, you're not. That's what he's telling us. So that's the do's and don'ts here. Romans chapter 6, verse 12, he says, therefore, in light of the knowledge that you have from the first 11 verses, do not keep on letting sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. This is making the transition to the tactics of the Christian way of life, not the strategy, the thing you do for distinctive advantage, but the tactics, the things you do on a day-to-day basis that allow you to be an effective Christian. So don't obey, therefore, in light of this knowledge, do not keep on letting sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. What is lust? Lust is insatiable desire. Lust is a black hole. And no matter how much you put into that black hole, it will never be satisfied. That's the flesh. The flesh is never going to be satisfied with anything you do or anything you say. I have so many people that I've had in my life over the course of time who have had this lust, this insatiable desire to be happy. And I have done my best to dump as many things into them as they say they think they want to make them happy. And you know what the result is, right? They're never happy. Why? You can't fill up that black hole. But God can. God fills that hole. God is the one. I think there's a Greek word, plero'o, and it's to fill up a deficiency. That's what God the Holy Spirit does. He plero'os us. He fills up our deficiency. We can't do it. We think we know what will make us happy. You don't have the slightest idea what will make you happy ever. Romans 6:13, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but keep on presenting yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead would present themselves, and keep on presenting your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So now we've transitioned out of established and irrevocable facts, and we've transitioned into, you have a chance to do this, will you? Here's my encouragement. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Keep on doing this over and over and over. Keep on doing the good things. Keep on not doing the bad things over and over and over. That's what God is saying to us. And what this lesson is offering us is a lesson in obedience. Romans 6:14, sin shall not be a lord over you as an established and irrevocable fact. It is not your lord any longer. You are dead to sin. You are not under the principle of law, but you are under the principle of grace. See, that's why everybody is turned off to religion. Religion is Satan's system, and it is designed to make you indifferent or antagonistic to God, and it just works. Roman Catholics, I was one. Jehovah's Witnesses, I was one. I wasn't one. My brother was one. I just got excited just now. I just made myself a Jehovah's Witness. I was so excited. Mormons, any religion. Yeah, Mormons, I was one. I took the tour of all of them. But all the religions have the exact same thing at the base. See, you always have to, you don't look at the faith part. You always get down to the base. You look at their doctrines, their statement of what they believe. And you always go to the base of it. And at the base of it, it will always be the same in every religion. And what is it? It is you got to do something to impress God. You, as a condemned unbeliever, have to do something to impress God. And the Bible says you can't. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. So the law doesn't work. What does Romans 5, 20 and 21 say? The law was instituted so that the sins may be increased. And wherever law is, sins will increase. And I was thinking about that this week because I happen to be around a lot of Roman Catholics. And I just remember those days I was so guilty all the time. They're always telling me stuff to make me feel guilty, especially feeling guilty for asking questions, feeling guilty for being inquisitive. I was hit all the time for being inquisitive. They didn't stop me. Why do people think that they're going to stop me? I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to ever stop inquiring. Why do people think that they can talk me out of that? Not doing it. How about you? I'm never getting off the bus. If I get off the bus, I'm going to have my butt pressed right up against the driver, the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion is designed to make you indifferent or antagonistic to God, and it works. And then, you know, what did I do? I jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire of legalism. I'm better than you because of what I believe. I know more than you. I'm smarter than you because I go back to the Greek. I go back to the original languages. I do exegesis and categories and eisegagics and all these other words that nobody's ever heard of. And I know doctrines that you don't know. Do-da-do-da. Does that sound anything like God? That he would have a secret club, a secret society? That sounds nothing like God. He is not like that. And so people using Satan's system of religion, legalism and lasciviousness, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, turn people off to Christianity. And people, unfortunately, give up on God because they've given up on religion and self-righteousness and lasciviousness. So they give up on God. And then they're the most shocked people in the world when they're in the lake of fire. How did I get here, man? This is like being in Phoenix in the summer. No, not quite. No, it's not quite like being in Phoenix in the summer. Because fall comes in Phoenix and it gets cooler. Lake of Fire isn't going to get cooler. It's all eternity. And why do people go to the Lake of Fire? Because God wants them to go? No, they go to the Lake of Fire because they want to go, because they're too busy to stop for a second and accept the free gift. Father, I believe in Christ. That's the moment of eternal life for you. We're too busy for it. I don't have time for God. I don't want to go to church. I don't really have to go to church to worship God. Okay, great. That's true. Well, what do you do instead? Nothing. Okay. All right. Well, you need to do something. Because you know what I struggle with as a pastor? Every week, when I finally have done all the research and I sit down to write you a lesson, you know what I'm thinking? It's like, what's this doing for them? Is there any way for me to articulate what the essence is of what this is really doing for them? And I finally figured it out. You know what it's doing for you? It's taking you back to the big picture. Because you know what you're going to do when you leave here? You're going to go out into the mess that is Satan's kingdom. And you know what that's like? It's like being in one of those money booths. Have you ever seen those? You go in a money booth, and there's a lot of money on the floor, and then they start. I know you haven't been anywhere near money, June, so I understand the look on your face, okay? June's going, money booth, what is that? Yeah, June, is there anywhere where I can get one of those? Yeah, okay, no, so that's not what I'm talking about. It's a whole nother story. It's a different story. You go into this money booth. It's a big plastic square booth, and there's money on the floor, and then they turn on a blower. And the blower is blowing the money all around, and you have a certain amount of time in the booth, and all the money you catch and put into your bag, you get to keep. All right, that's what your life is like. 10 minutes after you get out of here, you're going into the Satan's kingdom of death booth, and it's going to be blowing around you all this stuff that is so influencing and tempting and being aggressively into forcing you into decisions that hurt yourself that you completely lose perspective. So why do you come in here? I say to you, listen to this and zoom out. zoom out and take a look at the context of your life. Take a look at what you did this week and ask yourself, what was valuable and what wasn't? And then you look at it and you say, you know, most of the stuff I did this week wasn't valuable. Amen. All right, so don't do that anymore. Instead, do this. Oh, yeah, that's, you know, I get so much out of this. It's like, this is Saul like good. And then you're right back in the money booth. You're going to keep going into the money booth. You're going to keep being surrounded by crap. But this zooms you out. This, if just for a second, restores you to sanity. So that you can go climb that money booth mountain one more time. That's why we're here. See, the lesson the Lord is offering in Romans 6:12 to 6:14 is the lesson of obedience. Do this, don't do that. Once you know who you are, verses 1 through 11, you get to decide what you want to do. Now, what does it mean to decide? The greatest definition of decide I've ever seen, to arrive at a conclusion that gives victory to one side or the other. Are you going to give victory to the money booth? Or are you going to give victory to what God tells you? You know what my wife told me last night? You want to hear, can I let you in on a little personal secret? Can I do that? You know what my wife told me last night? She said, you know what? You are engaged in so many things that help others that you forget to take care of yourself. You know, and then you hear that song playing in your head. You dropped the bomb on me. You dropped the bomb on me. You turned me up. That dropped the bomb on me. The first thing I thought when I got out of the bed this morning is, damn, I never take care of myself. And I have always had that problem. You know why? Because I go to the extreme. You know, I go from, I don't want to be selfish, to, okay, then I'm not doing anything for myself. And so what a great thing to have a woman in your life who is sitting there nitpicking, who's giving you perspective. Amen. Amen. Who's giving you perspective on what you should do or not do. I'm listening to her. Because, you know, I always wonder, like, why haven't I been back to the gym since my rotator cuff surgery? You know, it's a simple reason, because that would be taking care of myself. I actually enjoy working out. So why do it? You know, if you enjoy it, don't do it. Do something that, you know, why don't I haven't played much golf with Mike. Mike says, screw you, I got other partners. I ain't playing with you. I haven't been playing much golf, man. And there's a secret thing behind that. I was getting too good. Mike said, I want him to not play. He was getting good. But I love golf. When I play golf with Mike, you know, I come home and that just my day is just altogether different. It's so bright. So she's right about that. Yeah, I don't take care of myself because I'm so busy taking care of everybody else. I don't want that to be my legacy when I die. You know, Rory was a great guy. He took care of everybody else. Never took anybody else. That's why he's so heavy carrying his body right now. He's a fatty. Should have gotten to the gym. Yeah, the dog's even mad at me. Hey, man, how come you don't ever walk me, man? How come she's always doing the walking around? And you don't ever feed me either. I know you used to change my water. Now, it's like you're a dog. Deal with it. So decide, arrive at a conclusion that gives victory to one side or the other. It's okay to take care of self. You can have your cake and eat it too. There you go. We got some perspective on that expression now. So what side will win? In every decision, you get to decide what you want to do because you have free will. So with every decision, you get a clear recommendation from the Lord about what to do. First, the do nots. Here it is. Do not keep on letting sin be the king of your mortal body. Do not keep on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Instead, do what? Do keep on presenting yourself to God. Keep reporting for assignment. Do act as if you're alive from the dead, because you are. Do keep on presenting the members of your body as instruments of righteousness to God. That's what. So what is your decision? To whom will you give the victory? The do-nots or the do's? And as you decide, first, remember who you are. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, if you have been resurrected with Christ, and you have, believers in Christ, and keep on seeking the things above. There's that continuous action again. Keep on seeking the things above where Christ is, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died to the sovereignty of sin, and your life is hidden with Christ in God the Father. More commands. The New Testament is full of commands. All of these are do commands. Do what? Do seek the things above where Christ is. Think of the heavenly things. Don't be thinking about this. You know, why isn't Satan's kingdom conforming to what God wants? I don't want Satan's kingdom to conform to what God wants. I want Satan's kingdom to keep doing exactly what it's doing. I want it to keep proving that it stinks. I don't want it to change. I want it to keep lying to itself that it's getting better. It's getting better as I watch it deteriorate and go right into the toilet. I am excited about what's happening in Satan's kingdom. And I'm thinking about what's above. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the things that Paul saw that he was not permitted to speak about. Because if he spoke about it, we'd be so lost in dreaming about that that we would completely forget about what we were doing here. Do remember that in union with him, you right this minute, believers in Christ, are seated at the right hand of God the Father with Christ. And you don't know what that means. What does it mean to be sitting next to God the Father? Well, he's on a throne. And he's in the throne room of heaven, and you're sitting right there with him. But you don't know what that means yet. You barely know what it means to be in union with Christ. You barely know what it means to be saved. How could you comprehend something as magnificent as this? How could you comprehend something as magnificent as the fact that you are right this moment sitting next to God the Father, seated there with Christ? We've got a lot to learn. The do's. Do remember that you have died. Do remember that you have died. To what? Sin. And so you're free. Yeah, I'm free. Free falling. So do remember to take advantage of Christ. Take advantage of who you are. Take advantage of what he wants you to do. So in his commands, the Lord is telling us what not to do, and he's telling us what to do so that there will be no confusion. Here it is. Keep on presenting yourselves means report for duty. Every day when you get up, the first thing you ought to do is report for duty. God, I am here. I am your instrument. Reporting for duty. What do you want me to do today? By the way, God, you know there's this woman at work that I don't like. Is there anything you want me to do about that? Can I stab her? Can I shank her? That's what you want to say. He would say, do not go on presenting the members of your body, your right hand, to shanking. No, he doesn't want you to do that. God tells you who not to report to in the don'ts and who to report to in the do's. Don't report to Satan. Don't report to the kingdom of death. Don't report to the flesh. Instead, report to me. Romans 6:12. Therefore, in light of the knowledge of who you are, do not keep on letting sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. The flesh inside of you is lusting for things and hoping that you engage in them so it can destroy you. Romans 6:13. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but keep on presenting yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead would present themselves, and keep on presenting your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So what is he telling you here? Do not report to sin. Do not make sin your king. Do not obey the lust of sins. Do not turn yourself over to the power of sin in your body, which is much more powerful than your will, by the way. Do not keep on living in your old man comfort zone, but instead adopt a new man comfort zone, which is much bigger and filled with all cool stuff. Do not think that knowledge is enough. Do not obey your enemy. Now, the word instruments. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. The word instruments is the Greek word helpa, H-E-L-P-A, helpa. And what does it mean? Do not go on presenting your body as a tool. Do not go on presenting your body as a utensil. Do not keep making yourself available for use. And the terms are all about offensive warfare. So what does Satan want to do with you? He wants you to turn yourself over to him so that he can use you as a tool in his offensive warfare against God. God wants you to turn yourself over to him as a utensil for his offensive warfare against Satan. You get to choose. Who are you going to give the victory to? You get to decide. So do not keep on presenting yourselves for duty as a utensil of warfare to sin. That's a powerful statement. Based on what you know you are in Christ, do something different. That's what it's saying. For example, don't let your tongue report for duty as a utensil of warfare in your relationship. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 warn against this. It says, the tongue is a small part of the body. The tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. It is a spark that sets a relationship on fire and burns it down. So even though you know what to do, from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11, in the second passage of Romans, verses 12 to 14, the Lord leaves no doubt about what it means to be such ones as these, the children of a king. Children of a king do what the Lord says. Children of Satan do what he says. And as to how we're to decide on how to be in our holy walk, who are you going to give the victory to? Which side of the two are you going to give the victory to? Are you going to wear the white uniform of the dues of the Christian way of life? Are you going to wear the black and the gray uniforms of Satan? That's your choice. Who will you give the victory to, the dues or the do nots? Well, we'll hear more about this in our next lesson. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are guarantees, and here are some of his guarantees. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and everyone in your household who also believes. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at a moment in time as an established and irrevocable fact, and it stands that you will be saved by God forever. John 14:6, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth of the word of God. I am the resurrection life, and no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. Faith alone and Christ alone is the ticket to eternal life. And once you believe, you are saved for all time. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, the Zoe life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, but instead the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Believe and you will be saved. Closing song is about our God. He is our hero.
From up above to demonstrate your love, my hero.
June, let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you have sent us a hero in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son to be the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. And I pray that all who are at the other end of this message might realize the power that you've put in our hands and the power that you've put in our choice, that power between the space between knowing and doing. And we pray that all those who recognize the gospel message in knowing will use their choice for doing. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.